Hi, everyone. I hope you can hear me. I'm just coming on here at this moment to let you know that we're waiting for Simon. We're hoping that he is able to get online. Apparently, his computer was destroyed last night, and so we don't know what's going to happen as far as that goes, but he had to go down and buy another computer. Apparently, nobody or somebody out there doesn't want him to broadcast today. So, but I am getting the word from someone who works with him that we should be able to get in touch with him shortly. So if everyone will just stand by, I'm going to leave this on. You won't see a picture other than I'm going to put the poster on here, but thanks everyone for standing by. Okay, thank you.
Hello, Kerry. Simon here.
Hi, Simon. Well, glad to get you at least on a landline here. I'm very sorry to hear that you have had some problems. We are live, as you may know.
Yeah.
And sorry, everyone, that we won't have a video picture. I'm going to check with the chat, make sure they can hear us. Hold on 1 second here. Okay, yes. It looks like we're being heard, so that's just great. So sorry everyone again for the delay as well. But here we are. We do have Simon Parks, and thank you, Simon, for going to the trouble. I'd love to hear what it is has happened in the last, well, few hours, I'm assuming.
Kerry, somebody really didn't want this interview to go ahead, I think. I've had, you know, various problems, as we all do, but today, literally, I have my computer fixed into my television screen, and this time only getting a black screen, nothing from the computer at all. So I've had to go and buy a laptop, trying to set that up. It's just one problem after another. So literally, without working Skype. So it's been hellish for the last 5 hours. So I'm really grateful that we're able to do this by phone. There's too much. It's not coincidence. There's just too much gone wrong here at every turn. So, you know, at least we're on the phone.
Absolutely. Well, okay, this is just wild. I, you know, because you put out your newsletter, and in theory, we're going to be talking about that. I thought it was quite an excellent newsletter, very interesting information, needless to say. But since it's already out there in writing, it's fascinating that they don't want this kind of a sort of venue to happen.
Yes, I mean, it's, you know, you can expect, we all get technical problems and, you know, from one or two things go wrong, but this has just been an absolute avalanche of issues to literally hold us up, because this is the major interview today I was doing, and I think it's the subject matter. I think because you're well known for staff and the subject matter particularly is incredibly sensitive. I'm talking about the Putin stuff. I know from other stuff, other things that have happened, that some elite groups are very unhappy about this topic. So I'm sure that's what's done it. But anyway, you know, we'll battle on, won't we?
Oh, absolutely. And thank you for persevering. You know, I do understand some people feel that it's, you know, they might have backed out at this point. They might have gotten the message. I'm sorry to say that.
I get the message, but at the end of the day, this just makes me across. I don't usually get across, but I'm verging. I've left the annoyed bracket, and I'm now moving across to cross. So I want to get the message out, and if we can do it this way, then, you know, well done to you for organizing it.
Okay, great. So let's just cut to the chase here. And first of all, what I'd like you to do, in spite of everything, and we've got quite an audience here, and it's building as we go. I do want to say that this will go on to YouTube afterwards, and we are recording this. And anyone out there who is has a camera and wants to shoot the, you know, take a picture of the screen or focus it on the screen, shouldn't use the word shoot. You know, if you could record this as well, because this is the kind of thing that we want to go viral whenever there's a pushback of this kind for a live event. Obviously, there's a power in going live because, in theory, once it's out there and it can't be taken back. So we want to put this out there, and, we want to make sure there's no interference on my end. I do want to say, and I am apologizing for saying this, but I'm calling you with my Skype phone. I'm hoping this is not costing me too much money. You are in the UK and I am in California. So if anyone cares to donate to Camelot to make this phone call possible, you know, it's fingers crossed. I have no idea what the cost is. So that's, you know, it should be low. But that's the way it goes. So if you could give yourself a very brief introduction, and then we'll sort of launch from there.
Okay, very brief. I went public with my experiences of ETs, some for pushing 5 years ago now. Talked about my biological family and their connections with the secret intelligence services of both America and Britain. And I was initially attacked by the media, the usual, trying to make me out as perhaps deranged or crazy or attention-seeking. And that changed literally when I was invited by the British Ministry of Defence to tour a space radar station in Britain. I got a three-hour tour. And that completely changed all of the attitudes towards me, in the sense that people couldn't understand why one arm of the elite were attacking me, yet another arm of the elite were saying, oh, well, we'll let him look round a sensitive installation. And established media were phoning me up saying, well, you know, what you're saying must be true, because if you were making it up, they wouldn't let you near it. And then in 2012, after I'd gone public with my story, I stood for election as a town councillor, as a politician, and was elected. And again, that was very difficult for certain people, because I had told everybody, made it public, and they still voted me in. So it was difficult. So some arm of the established media would attack me still, but many others were quite supportive. And that's really the situation we've been in, and recently, with the help of some good people, I've set my website up, and that's helped me to get my story out. But it's also meant that the attacks from certain negatives have increased, and today is no exception. So I had expected and hoped to use my tried and trusted technology here with Skype, but it's absolutely been attacked. And I spent 4 to 5 hours just trying to make alternative arrangements, and haven't been able to do that. So I'm really grateful to you, Kerry, for ringing in. And I would say to people, if they've got a pound or two spare or a dollar to spare, please to donate that towards you to help you to recoup the cost of your phone call.
Okay. Thank you so much for that. You know, one time I did have an incident in South Africa where I was on my cell phone, and at this time I'm on a landline with Skype. So that's where we're going. And I can say at that time, I made a mistake and went live over the radio using my cell phone. And that cost me a pretty penny, as they say. So, anyway, to move on, the global playing field is really what I called this, and what I that was sort of a summarization in three words of what you had put onto your newsletter, which can be found on the front page of ProjectCamelotPortal.com for those of you who found this by tweeting or whatever and never went to the page itself. So if you want to read the newsletter, it is on the front page under Simon Parks. So I have interviewed Simon once before, and I do recommend that interview as well as background to this interview. But we're going to cut to the chase here. So if you can summarize the brief bullet points, if you will, and elaborate if there are things to elaborate on, and then we can kind of go deeper. What you said in your newsletter, it's sort of here and now information, and so on.
I think the reason for the attack on my my sort of communication equipment here is simply because the certain elites don't want to talk about the Russian situation and don't want to talk about President Putin and what's been going on. It's probably the most hottest topic now on the planet, and that's saying something. And I'm referring to politics within presidents' offices or prime ministers' offices. It's the one subject. So I'm almost half expecting this phone call to be cut off. So I think that's the subject we would chat about. So for people who haven't had a chance to look at the newsletter that I put out, I really spoke about what had pushed President Putin into finally signing the new money deal, the BRICS agreement, why President Putin had disappeared for 10 days, and how close to a third world war we actually came in the last 4 weeks. A whole host of things, really, Kerry, and some really what many people would think were quite outlandish, but actually are deadly serious. So what do you want me to do? Do you want me just to quickly bullet point the main points of the newsletter regarding that, and then you could ask any questions from the audience?
Well, I think that would be good, but I also think that if you would like to elaborate as you go, okay, sort of just let your mind go freely, and we'll okay. go with you, and then we'll circle back.
Okay. Well, as I unravel the story, I think people will understand why lots of very elite people wouldn't want this interview to go out, Kerry, because most of what I'm going to tell you, even people in the Truth organization haven't actually heard. And it's quite bizarre. And you'd laugh at it, except it's so deadly serious that you can't afford to laugh at it. Right. If we go back to the situation, the troubles that occurred between the European Union, Russia, over the Ukraine, and the established media sold that as the people of Ukraine were rising up against the oppression of Russia and wanted to join the European Union. That's nonsense. It was a funded riot, for want of a better word, insurrection funded by the CIA for two things in purpose. The first is that under the Ukraine is a wealth of gas, and America would like to frack the gas under the Ukraine. And second reason is that there's a strong Zionist group that considers part of Ukraine their energetic homeland, for want of a better word. And so they wanted that to be removed away from Putin's control. This month, many months ago, started what was a guerrilla warfare between special forces of the American military, Russian units, and a number of rebels. So that went on for a long time. It's the last 6 weeks that have caused very serious difficult ramifications. People may not know what a VPN line is. A VPN line is a special phone line which contains encrypted information that runs under most countries. So it's not like a telephone line. It's a line that secure, secret organizations can actually send communications under the ground. Now, there is one that runs under the Ukraine, and four weeks ago now, the normal traffic was diverted from that VPN line, and sensitive information was sent through from America and Britain, from the Atomic Energy Commission, from one of Britain's major snooping stations called GCHQ. And they knew that Russia would be able to hack this VPN line, and the intention was they wanted Russia to read this information. They were putting false information, and the information stated that Britain's nuclear deterrent, which is a submarine-based nuclear system, had targeted their missiles on Russia, on Russian cities. Now, thank God, and I'm using that word absolutely seriously, thank God Putin saw this for what it was. It was an absolute trick. He didn't retaliate at all, but understood it to be a trick. Within 4 days of that, a Zionist hit squad attempted to assassinate President Putin. That was foiled. Another Zionist hit squad attempted to assassinate President Obama. And if people want to go Google, you'll find that somewhere between 7 or 10 American lawmakers, senators, have been arrested. And the charges are not very clear, but there is a link here. Both of those attempts were prevented and stopped. Now, when all this occurred, Putin was pushed over the edge, didn't declare war, didn't rise to the bait, took himself away, and he formally nationalized the main Russian bank because he wanted that to hold the Russian gold reserves and didn't want a private sector holding it. He then formally signed the BRICS agreement, and that's with China, India. You've got people like Switzerland who've joined. I think Hungary have joined. India, of course, being quite a key player now because they're building just like China. And so he signed that, and that was a red flag to the elite in the West, because he was basically saying, I'm not going to play your game, and, you know, you want a battle, I'll give you an economic battle. So we have a situation now where he can't go back on the plan. He is going to, you know, go for this new economy, this new money-backed system of gold, and it's going to bring a very serious economic situation to the United States. Now, I'd originally been told probably in the fall of this year, probably in September, October, possibly November, which is traditionally a time when stocks take a bit of a hammering. But recently I've been told it might be as soon as July. As a backdrop to that, in the end of last year, I'd predicted that Europe would take a financial collapse. And in February of this year, the International Monetary Fund, which is an American-backed organization, put 50 billion euros into the European banks in February. They did it again in March, and I guess they'll do it again in April. And they've saved the situation in Europe, not so much because of all these electronic zeros on a computer screen, but because they acted early enough. They started in February before any panic got in. So we're not going to get a financial collapse in the European zone this year. But there's a possibility of something happening to America unless they can do something, especially if organizations, companies, corporations start realizing that they don't have gold-backed money, and that to buy anything in from a country abroad that is gold-backed is going to have a problem. Now, in the alternative media, nobody seems to want to use the word devaluation. They like the word reset. And to be honest, we need to be truthful with people. We are talking about a devaluation. The only way, once this gold system comes into place, that countries like Britain or America can cope is if they devalue it's a massive political potential for some big serious changes, and that is why there has been such a kickback from the elites. I had an approach from agents from the Vatican just a few weeks ago, who clearly were unhappy about the subject of President Putin being discussed. So it's a very, very, very serious and hot topic. And just to finish off then, I guess that's why I couldn't Skype you today, Kerry.
Okay. You know, I will just tell you that I've tried to alert people on my Facebook page, and something in Facebook is trying to prevent me from posting anything more about this event on Facebook right this moment. So that's very interesting. Wow, what controls they have. There you have it in real time. Okay, well, this is, you know, very, very important information, obviously. And some of the bits and pieces are known, you know, are out there. But lacing it all together in the way you have is painting a picture. And that's, of course, what they don't want us to do. They don't want us to add the dots, so to speak. So let me ask you, Putin looked very pale when he returned. I have a back channel source who said that he was meeting with certain off planet races that, you know, when you do that, and I don't know if you feel this or have had this happen to you, but, you know, that can affect your health. It can be difficult, you know, when you, whether you teleport or whatever it is, you know, you go into one of their craft or whatever you want to call it. Do you have any information on that?
Yes, he most definitely did meet off planet humanoid benign entities. The change in his demeanour was more to do, to be honest with you, with the massive implications. You know, if you know that a hit squad has, you know, been sent to try and murder you, and you manage to stop that, if you know that another country is playing a game of poker with you and says that it's got its nuclear missiles pointed at your cities, you don't need disruptive energies from off-world aliens to make you feel a little bit dizzy or giddy. You've got quite enough from the humankind, thank you very much. So it was the enormity of what was occurring, and that he was the only one on the planet who is prepared to stand up to some of these very evil people. And I think that this took its toll on him. Yes, when you meet some alien beings, if you're not used to it, then the energies can be a bit disruptive. It doesn't mean they're bad, it's just their frequency is different. The energies from a fourth or fifth dimensional creature, if you're not accustomed to it, can make you a little bit shaky. So I suppose a combination of that probably would explain that, Kerry.
Absolutely. Makes sense. Okay, so at this moment, there are other things going on the planet in addition to this. And I can say that I was looking at the news this morning. I know that the dollar has finally dropped. And you know, people have been saying it's going to drop. It hasn't dropped a huge amount, I don't think. But there is a sign in the markets, as they say. So I don't know if you've been aware of that or had, you know, reports going on today.
Yeah, I say to people, watch every day, get one of those apps on your phone that gives you the gold price. There's your answer. Because the day before 9/11, United Airlines stocks changed dramatically. So the gold price is the best indicator of what's around the corner. But yes, if you look at the dollar, and then you're looking at what they call the money men, who are pulling out their worthless banknotes and trying to buy something else that's going to hold the value. So there's your answer. Look at the way the dollar fluctuates. Look at the price of gold and put two and two together.
Okay, and this is something of a side issue to the total picture here, but it is crucial from the point of view of many people in the U.S. We have some live military exercises going on, actually starting here in April. There are reports coming from all kinds of people around the states, seeing, you know, various military goings on. And then we have things escalating. Apparently there's something going on. I think it's, if I have it right, somewhere in Minnesota or something like that, recently, you know, very soon, and then also in June, and then in July through September, everyone's talking about Jade Helm. You might have heard of it. Do you feel that this is any kind of activity related?
Yes. The National Security Council received a briefing from the National Security Agency some time ago, in which showed that with 1 million cops, it'd be very difficult without the military to maintain any sort of control over North America. The report from the National Security Agency to the Council actually was very interesting, because it said that the report was that soldiers wouldn't fire on civilians, but the police would. And the element here was that military families are dotted throughout North America and are always fundraising for the military, and there's a huge pride with the military. And if most units were asked to fire on civilians, they wouldn't do it. But the police are, by and large, so hated and so detached from the community that the police wouldn't have a problem in shooting on local people. The difficulty for the states was that there's only 1 million cops. So when they did role-playing games, they did it all on the computer, and they looked to see which cities or which states they could hold and which they would lose. And they worked out which of the ones they wanted to hold. And I think there's a big operation going on in California at the moment. California is one of the states full of alternative people. So is Texas. Texas is very, very independent people. So these were two states that Jade Helm were looking at to see how they would do that. The second thing is to try and make the soldiers feel more like soldiers and less like members of the community. The final element of it was to get the public used to seeing military on the streets. So there was a whole range of goals that they wanted to obtain with these exercises. They also know that this year and next year are crucial years for the development of humanity, for the level of human consciousness to arise. And this is just another effort to flex the few remaining muscles they have. So that's my take on it, Kerry.
Okay, thank you for that. So moving on, can you look at the rest of what's going on out there and also tell me where you're getting your information? Is it coming directly from your ET contacts, or is it a combination of information that you're gathering from various other places?
I only go public with information when I get it from get the same info from more than one source. So when security services or very well connected people tell me something and that matches with what I'm hearing from off-world entities, then I'll go public with it, because, you know, one is backing the other up. Often I get one saying something and the other one either having no comment or having no knowledge or disagreeing, and in that case I don't go with it. So anything that I've just discussed with you has come from at least two different sources.
Okay, very good. Now, I know that people are going to have their questions, and we did talk about this in advance, and we want people to ask their questions, so I will go down through those questions. But before we do that, I want to go back to actually a couple of things you talked about in the interview with me.
Okay.
And those were things about your training, you know, in terms of your grandfather.
Okay.
And how that is maybe factoring into your understanding of the global situation, because that was very sort of key magical training, so to speak, in my view. And then I also would like to go in the direction of flight. Was it 317? Okay, the number's escaping me. But the flight that was shot down over Ukraine that you said was headed, was actually a Mossad operation that was headed to a Russian city. And any updates on that matter, and then we'll kind of move on from there.
Okay. Right. When I was growing up as a young boy, I came under two earthly influences. One was my biological mother, who believed in magic but didn't believe in Satanism. And the other was my biological grandfather, who believed in magic but did believe in Satanism and also was a member of the Illuminati in its true sense, its true guise. And both strove to train me to their point of view. One was very rigid and all-encompassing and very command and control, and the other one was more compassionate. And as a boy, I think this represented itself when I had to choose of the alien races which of these alien races I was going to associate with, and I had the choice between a reptilian group, a Draconis reptilian group, and a mantid or a mantis group, and I chose the mantis group. So I made a very, very big energetic decision that I wanted to be with a group that was more benevolent by and large to humanity than the reptilian group. And so that swung it. In other words, it dictated where I would go, how I would behave, and who or what could interact with me. Had I chosen the reptilian group, then I would have been a completely different kettle of fish, as we say in Britain. So I guess that my grandfather must have been fairly disappointed. But, you know, that's both free will and the choices. In terms of the Ukraine, the aeroplane that was shot down, you notice that that the media have just almost totally lost it and dropped it because they didn't get out of it what they wanted. There was a dirty bomb in the cargo hold of the aeroplane, and that's why when it was shot down, it wasn't shot down by missiles, because the fear was that if an air-to-air missile exploded, it could actually activate the bomb. And that's why depleted uranium rounds were fired into the cockpit, so the bomb wasn't detonated. Now, it wasn't the sort of bomb that when it hit the ground it would explode, because these devices have a number of safety triggers or protocols, and it's not like a shell you put into a gun. It's not like hit by a hammer which ignites it. It's in electronic devices. But a air-to-air missile, the heat of an explosion of that would have actually activated it. But a crashing aeroplane would not. And that's why it was shot down with cannon fire. The bodies that were found by the rebel groups, and the bodies were reported to be drained of blood and to be many days old. So we can perhaps begin to imagine where they've been. But no, there's no more information coming out because the plan failed. It was thwarted, and it was thwarted because this group who are actively advising President Putin also warned him of the situation that was going to occur. So basically he was ready, waiting for that situation, and was able to deal with it.
Okay. Now, let me ask you this. What is your timing? Because I will go to the transition to take the questions from the audience now, if you feel that, you know, I want to give them 30 minutes of questions if they have that many. If they don't, then I'll continue with my own. But what is your timing like?
That's a very American thing. When you ask me that, are you saying how much time have I got to stay on the phone?
Yes.
I don't know, you guys threw us out at the Boston Tea Party, and we are very close in many ways, but sometimes the language both of us use is just completely alien to the other. listen, question. I'll stay here as long as need be. We've got two issues here. One is how much is it costing you? And secondly, when someone doesn't like what we say and cuts us off. So listen, I'll be guided by you. Okay.
Okay. Excellent. Well, fingers crossed this is being recorded, but again, let me put this out there. If you have a camera, you can point it at the screen and record this event and the sound, of course. Most importantly, or if you just have a recording device. I am recording this at my end with more than one device, but we want to make sure that this doesn't get lost somehow or interfered with. So
I would just say that that's really important. I did a few weeks back, I did a very useful talk presentation, actually at a very spiritual center, which was renting premises from a Masonic lodge. And I think I did about 4 or 5 hours of presentation. And the organization told me that 3 of those hours disappeared. So literally on the electronic recording that was done, it was videoed, they just disappeared in the camera. So they were attacked electronically before the chip, the SD card was taken out of the camera. So it's probably wise to make several recordings because somebody doesn't like what I talk about.
Absolutely. There's no doubt about it. This kind of thing can happen, and Camelot has had these things go on since our inception, which is now 9 years into this project. So, as I say, that's why I put the call out. Again, if you are able to do that, that's great. And, we will not object to you posting it on anywhere, your own recording. In other words, assuming it is complete and you don't add anything, that's totally great. So, okay. Well, I'm going to go and into the chat now briefly and look at the questions. I do want to ask you if you have a perception about what people are saying is Planet X or anything related to incoming bodies, what may be coming in the near future, that sort of thing.
Okay. The old guard, the elite, in several places on the planet, are expecting guarded in my newsletter, expecting the bank manager to come back. They're expecting the owner of the property, as it were, to return. So the elite are expecting at some point the Anunnaki, in the true sense of the word, to come back. And they would welcome them with open arms. Whether these people, whether they returned, would actually accept the elite in their position, that's doubtful. But nevertheless, it is predicted that their return is imminent. I sometimes have a problem with Planet X. I'm reasonably comfortable with a large foreign body entering the solar system in the next 2 years. It will not hit the Earth. It's not going to hit the Earth. There's a lot of panic going on about that. That's not going to happen. But certainly I am expecting some sort of foreign object to enter the solar system within the next 2 years, Kerry.
Okay. Well, I've never heard anyone say that they thought it would hit the Earth. Okay. I I'm not sure who you're hearing from, but my audience hasn't brought that up. But certainly, I have done a recent interview. You may know of Andy Lloyd, a fellow Brit. And he studied this for 10 years, lives very close to GCHQ, which means he does have some contacts there, and is propelled to do so still to this day. And my latest interview with him is on my front page for those listening and who are interested. He's very conservative about what he thinks, in terms of timing, but we're talking about something that is perturbing our solar system in some way, even regardless of the distance, and if it's moving one body or more than one body. I just interviewed Richard Allen Miller, who is a Black Project scientist, a physicist, very, very intelligent guy, who says he's been given information that there is a body somewhere in the vicinity of Neptune, which is interesting information. Other people are shooting objects that are seen next to the sun at this time. So there's a lot going on out there. I'm also told by a back channel source that there's more than one body, that, you know, these kinds of things go on. There's also, this G2, sort of cloud, they're calling it, which is not in our solar system, but is somewhere, near the galactic center, if I understand correctly. And that's, been talked about by various people. I believe Paul LaViolette, the scientist, has also talked about that. So we have things that are, that could perturb our solar system. Andy Lloyd makes a very good case for something called angularity, a scientific argument that says that there's something, that affects our solar system that is not, it's not accounted for, by any of the models or explanations for the way it operates, which is interesting.
Sure. I think that some people are becoming confused because, there are what has entered the solar system as some absolutely colossal spacecraft. Absolutely huge, bigger than people can imagine. And when they entered, they were detected before they cloaked. So the military, Earth military, did actually detect them. And there is confusion between what is a Planet X and what is one of these craft. So from a scientific point of view, other planets can be affected by a mass, if that mass is at the right distance and is big enough. Now, some of these spacecraft are not big enough to affect a planet, its movement through space, but a large body, call it Planet X, whatever you want, would. So I think what is showing up is that there is something out there that is actually having an effect on the gravitational pull of other bodies in the solar system, but there are also others, huge objects, which are not planetoid, but are metal-based. So, yes, I think it's a very exciting time at the moment.
Okay, and I agree with you, according to my sources anyway. I have heard about these very large craft, although, you know, the information comes in and out of the news and disappears very quickly, even, you know, the so-called alternative news. So, you know, and when you say they cloaked, I think that that's probably extremely accurate. Okay, so we have a very interesting playing field going on. We rarely get sort of up-to-the-minute information. And so your position, sort of, in the UK, the fact that you do have credibility, lends itself to people listening to this, maybe even outside the alternative sector. And that's why, you know, I sort of contacted you and wanted to go forward with this right away, because I feel that it's so seldom that we get, as I say, up-to-date information. We might get it, you know, a couple of years after the fact. Camelot sees a lot of information that goes public that has been known even to Camelot for years. And so this kind of gap in, and this is a time when people need to know in order to make plans for themselves, their families, understand on a spiritual level also what is going on out there, and here. Would you agree?
Yes. You're the same as me. It's not about spreading fear or spreading panic. It's about actually saying that, you know, if we have information which we believe is credible, then we are honor bound or duty bound to share that with like-minded people who then can do with it what they will. I mean, I've never signed up to the possibility of a global collapse or, you know, an economic destruction. What I have said is there will be disruptions to power, disruptions to food supplies, but nobody will go hungry as such. We are facing difficulties, but, you know, we have to go through these difficulties to come out the other end. So it's, in the short term, it may be a little bit difficult, but in the medium and longer term, then it's going to be a positive situation. And I would just go through it with a strong heart and say, well, I'm determined to come out the other end, and by goodness me, I'm going to do that. So yeah, that's what I think.
Okay, excellent. And as I've said, I will take questions. So I'm going to look at these questions now. You know, it's very compelling to be able to ask you, on the spot, these kinds of questions. All right. So someone is asking about the moon, if it was deactivated or removed from Earth orbit, would that be positive or negative for the planet?
It would be negative in the sense that it would have an effect upon the oceans. It would have effect upon human life, because many people are connected to the cycles of the moon. What would be more advantageous would be to shut down any devices that are operating inside the moon, and to clear out any bases that would still be operational. So rather than get rid of that satellite, it would be much, much, much better to just remove it, demilitarize it, and just have it as a lump of rock with nothing else.
Okay. All right. So let's see. Someone is asking, I guess, about what being called the Blue Avians. I think, actually, I think it's Corey Good, someone who came out on the Avalon Forum originally, who has now got his own website and come out under his own name officially. I think it's him who is putting out information about a race of beings that are on the edge of the solar system, or said to be, incoming towards Earth at this time. Have you heard any of this?
Yes, I'd agree with it. I think it's given the negative elites quite a nasty shock. I think when this race was first mooted or detected, I think it was considered to be of a negative alignment, but the creatures that you refer to as blue avians are rather more positive towards humanity than was first thought. And so this is another headache for the negative forces on Earth.
Okay. Another question in the chat. Swerdlow says beings from the Kuiper Belt are sabotaging CERN, but also says the Kuipers are working with the Nazis. So does that make any sense?
I've got a lot of time for Stuart, of course, because I've shared a platform. We've spoken together in Britain a couple of years back. And Stuart's a very genuine person. You know, he has the experience. He certainly was at Montauk. And like me, he's seen a number of quite exotic and unusual aliens. There's a number of benevolent forces now sufficiently concerned about CERN to have taken action against it. The listeners may actually remember that I was one of the first, I wouldn't say I was the first, but I was one of the first 3 years ago to really highlight the issue of CERN and did a video presentation on it, and reported that it didn't work on the 21st of December 2012. When it was due to activate and have a negative effect on the what people call the ascension process. Now, since then, it's had, to my knowledge, three malfunctions. One is absolutely wonderful. Americans were building one end of what we call the tube, and the Europeans were building the other end of the tube, and they had calculated the difference between American inches, feet, what we call imperial, and European centimetres and millimetres. So they thought they had worked out. And when they came to the final bit, they found that somewhere had gone wrong, and it was completely out. And when it was dropped into position, it bent and snapped. There's also been melting, overheating of certain parts. So as I predicted 3 years ago, this device will not be allowed to operate. It's too harmful to humanity, and it mustn't be allowed to activate. Stuart's always maintained that there are alien races, hopefully benevolent. bit about, did you say Nazis or something? What was
yeah,
that?
They said something about the Kuipers, as they called them. I'm not sure what that means, but the Kuipers, maybe they're referring to the beings or something, or he, the person who typed the question, saying they, some people were saying they were working with the Nazis, I guess.
Well, if we mean the Nazis, we mean the Fourth Reich, you know,
yes,
the elite today, or if we're talking about the Aldebaran group, that's knowledge. I can't say whether that particular race are working with them, but I can't answer that.
Okay, fair enough. Someone else is asking, I did a very, what I consider to be an important interview about a week ago with Richard Allen Miller and Bob Dunn. Richard Allen Miller was really, in something, I think to some degree out of character, because he was right, very carefully on message, so to speak. And he's usually, his mind is so fluid that he can go out in all kinds of directions, with very little encouragement. So, in this case, he was, really stressing sort of the crucial time we're in. And, he did mention that he felt that whatever changes were coming, that there, he believes that there, or has been told, and you know, kind of have to weigh that yourself, but as a physicist looking at the situation, keeping that in mind, that there may be a coming ice age sometime around, if I got it correctly, maybe 2017 or later, as a result of some of the other things that are going on. Do you have any information on that?
Well, I did say that a large foreign body was entering the solar system, and I also said it will not hit the Earth. In the past, the planet that you might refer to as Planet X did pass very, very close to the Earth and caused some of the polar caps to shift and melt. It is possible, but I haven't seen that on this timeline at the moment.
Okay, yeah, I personally, on a personal level, I do have dreams of the future quite often. Dream visions is really what I call them, and haven't seen any sign, at least from my experience, in any kind of ice age in the future. Now, thinking back, you are aware of an ascension pathway and the notion of human ascension. And you did say that the ET groups you're working with have, in a sense, wanted to piggyback on in a certain way, that they've changed the way they operate in regard to humans because they have now become aware that this would be a good thing for their race. And so it's changing the way they behave and think about humans and deal with them as well. In light of that, there's, to me, and what I'm seeing is growing evidence that we are shifting, and that shifting involves a lot of things. And some of these things that might have been threats with a direct physical sort of reaction, you know, action reaction, here on planet Earth, the Earth herself is also shifting. So we are shifting, the Earth is shifting, and as a result, what happens may not come out the way it has in the past. So do you have any thoughts on that?
The Earth never forgot its covenant with humanity. Many thousands of years ago, when humans were technologically ignorant but spiritually far more evolved or advanced than they are now, and many communities were able to communicate with the energy of Earth, whether it was through stones, rocks, trees, the animals, or with the Earth directly itself. And in those days, the planet loved the humans, and it saw them as not just something on its back, but it saw as something it had given birth to. Now, this day, we've got very few people who understand the Earth or care about the Earth or try to communicate with the Earth. But very, very fortunately for humanity, the Earth has not forgotten its covenant. So all humans have the potential, if they so desire, to reconnect understood. But it couldn't be more wrong. It's not an ascension process, it's a drawing down process. Over every decent living human creature, there are 10 strands of energetically disarticulated DNA. The humans originally had 12 strands of DNA, and then up between 220,000 and 250,000 years ago, a reptilian group removed the 10 strands of DNA from the human race so that humans were intelligent enough to work and think, but not intelligent enough to outthink their captors. And so it has been. But the wonderful thing about the human DNA is that it seeks to rejoin. And we call this 10 strands of DNA our higher self. So we are drawing our higher selves back into our bodies, and we're on the verge of doing that. And that will be what is known as the ascension process. Now, when that happens, there will be the most cataclysmic release of human energy, human consciousness. Now, if an alien race that is currently stuck in the fourth dimension would to seek to be raised up on that, they will only be able to raise up on it if they are of the like pattern. So if you still believe in murder and killing and oppression, you're not likely to be accepted by the planet, you're not likely to be able to piggyback along. But if you, as an alien race, decide that your culture needs to be changed and that, you know, everyone is equal, then you have a much more hopeful chance of connecting. But there will be particularly one race that will try and get on it on the cheap and try and get ascension without having to change. But you know what? The universe doesn't work like that. So that group, I think, will be forever stuck in the lower fourth dimension.
Okay. All right. Now, I am looking in the chat again. If you do have a question, put it in all caps. And as I'm looking, if you'll bear with me, just to make sure I'm not missing anything, it's easier for me to see it really quickly if it's in all caps. Just letting people know. Now, I'm not really seeing any exact questions right offhand. Are you aware of Kesh, and are you aware of the push, well, the pushback on free energy scientists, activists, etc., over the past maybe 10 years or more? Even Tesla was interfered with in that way. But, you know, are you aware of the sort of, I guess you might say the crucial, kind of crisis that we're really coming into, which is a sort of an energy war that has to do with oil, the free energy, and Japan and Fukushima factors into this whole scenario, as you may know, and so on. Would you have something to say in that regard about what's going on there?
I would. I would say within the next 5 years, if all things go to plan, free energy devices will be available.
Okay.
Within the next 5 years. They are an absolute crucial element to the salvation of humankind. It's part of the pattern, it's part of the project, it's part of the agreed plan to free humanity from corporations, from poverty, from disease. And, you know, it's a relatively cheap thing to set up. And once it's been set up, then it will just carry on working as long as it's maintained. And you can't go and sell them on the street corners at the moment because you'd be arrested. But once human consciousness makes a move, then I think there will be a opening for such devices. There are many people, actually, who know how to make them. And they've been made for a very long time. But it's actually marketing them, it's actually advertising them, it's actually getting them out there. That is the element at the moment that's being stopped. You mentioned Tesla. Tesla was an absolute genius. But Tesla was only reinventing what had already been discovered many, many hundreds or thousands of years before. And I always laugh when I read, you know, such and such a person discovered gravity or this, that, and the other. No, they were just rediscovering it because we knew it and we forgot it. those who are listening to this show, I should think all of them are enlightened people, or nearly so, they'll just sort of nod their heads and say, well, you know, we expected it, and, you know, that's the way it is. But for the vast majority, 75% of the population, it's going to be an absolute shock. And they're going to need support. They're going to need help. The whole world will turn upside down. So we will need devices like free energy, because if the corporations begin to crumple or implode, we are going to need something alternative very quickly.
Okay. And you are aware that they are being, you know, that they've been attacked and killed over the years, et cetera, right?
Well, yeah. Well, what the first thing is, if you can't beat them, join them. I mean, what they've attempted to do is to buy the patent or get the person to work in their university or in their organization. If they haven't been able to do that because the person has a very high ideal, then usually these people are reported to have committed suicide or to have gone missing and never to be found again. So it's the old system of, if you can't control them, then you kill them.
Yes. Okay. In terms of Japan and China and the world stage, there have been a number of attacks on Japan. There's quite a bit of concern about Richard Allen Miller, in fact, is one such person who has studied the situation at Fukushima in depth and is highly concerned. He also, and many of my back channel sources are saying that there will be another hit on Japan, and that will sink a good portion of that small country. And that they have made arrangements for, I think, purchased islands in the Kamchatka region off the coast of Russia. And that even the Chinese are supposed to be making room for them in somewhere in the middle of the country, although it's not certain that the Japanese will take them up on that. Do you know anything about that situation and the situation that has to do with the radiation?
Right. Well, the initial hit on Japan was supposed to have sunk all of it. The whole object of that was to take all of the country down in one go. And the off-world intervention prevented that. And it's actually off-world intervention that's acting like a bubble at the moment over that area, which is preventing it from really escalating to the point of view that it would be absolutely dire for humanity. So that's one thing. The second attack has been planned simply because they wanted the whole of the islands to disappear. The reason they wanted the islands to disappear is because when they've looked projected into the future, this is what the Orion Cube gave them when the Roswell spacecraft crashed. The two Roswell spacecraft crashed, they obtained what some people call the Orion's Cube, or the box. And this allowed them, in conjunction with other technologies, to start to access time in a different way from perhaps the more traditional routes they'd used that. And they foresee that the sinking of Japan puts America on the best timeline. So that was what that was about. It wasn't about punishing anybody individually, although there are arguments between the White Dragons and the Black Dragons or the Red Dragon societies, which do spread into Japan. But the reality is that it's felt for the elite of America that their best timeline would be with no more Japan. In terms of the radiation, I'm looking to the Earth to begin to evolve some form of mutation or immunity of the creatures in that location to be able to survive that radiation. However, we seriously need some off-world intervention within the next 2 years before the poisoning is too great. So I would agree with whoever you just mentioned from a scientific point of view.
Okay, Richard Allen Miller.
Right. Yeah, I would agree with what he said, yeah.
Okay. Now, I'm looking, someone wants to know what's the best thing we should be doing right now to prepare ourselves, for the coming world events and also in terms of, spiritual ascension or, you know, bringing down a connection, you know, a full connection with one's higher self. I'll paraphrase that.
Right. Well, this is not about fear. This isn't where you go and dig a bunker and go and take your gun and hide down there. That's exactly what we don't want, because then we're just bringing it on ourselves. What we can do is say, look, the potential disruption would only last between 4 weeks and 6 weeks before there was what the alternative media refers to as a reset. And I don't think there's any harm in getting enough bottled water for 4 weeks or 6 weeks, enough tinned food. You know, the canisters for gas that you can cook on, and if you've got a cat or a dog, get some cat food or dog food in. It's not about panic. It's just about being careful. That's the practical side. Now, in the energy side, yes, there's a heck of a lot people can do. They can start forming into psychic groups, spiritual groups, and they can then, working in unison or organization, they can then look at areas of the planet or individuals on the planet and then send healing to that part of the planet or those individuals. Or they can directly battle with anything. If they're sufficiently strong and they're well guided, they can energetically, psychically battle with anything that's not so good. But I would caution great care with that. And on my website, I've put a call out for anybody who is decent, loving, kind, but is a strong warrior, to put their names forward so that I can bring together groups of people with psychic abilities. We can just do that, and I've just been absolutely amazed. I've got over 300 people have put themselves forward, so I've got a big job in going through them to see who we've got. But this is what we can do. We can look after ourselves, we can look after our families and our friends, but we shouldn't just leave it there. We should look after people we don't know, because they are, you know, I often, when I talk to people, Carrie, if I can just give this, I give an analogy. I want you to imagine an apartment, and in this apartment are two children, brother and sister, 7 years old, and they have a mum and a dad. And one day, mum and dad go to work and never come back. But midnight, every night, a black guardian, let's just call him a black guardian, comes into the apartment and he provides food and water so the children don't die. And then he gives them religion, and he teaches them that they're sinners, they have no power, and that only God is great, and they need to get on their knees and give their power away and ask God for forgiveness. And then he gives them history books, and he gives them a completely false history. So when those two children leave the apartment and they grow up, they have no idea who they are, where they came from, what their history is. They believe that inherently they are not good, that they're sinners, they can never be good, and that only God is good, and therefore they need to get on their knees and pray. And they are, without any skills, they are violent, they're angry, they have tantrums, they stamp their feet, they lie and cheat, and they're completely out of control. Well, that is the human race. But the problem is, these people are this way because they've been lied to. They've been tricked and lied to. So when we meet people, yes, we shake our heads and think, oh, goodness me, you know, they just don't get it. But that's because they've been conditioned. They're in the matrix. And so all I say to people is, be patient, don't give up, and understand why these people are the way they are. They walk around like zombies. They're half asleep. But that doesn't mean that we give up. So all I would say is, protect yourself, protect your family, but don't give up on the rest of them.
Okay, excellent. I'm going to be asking, actually right now, the chat. Sometimes there's an interference and we go offline and I can't tell from my end. So just want to verify with everyone that they are hearing us and that the sound is good. And please understand that Simon Park's computer was attacked. If you've joined us later in the program, it was destroyed as I understand it. You had to buy another one.
Yeah.
And you had other issues as well, in just a few hours before this live broadcast happened, which is why there is no video. Actually, I'm here and, I'm simply, you know, showing the poster most of the time, trying to remember to put on the video when I'm talking, but, I don't always remember to do that, because I'm the only operator, so I have to think and do like 10 things at once. So at any rate, conducting the interview at the same time as worrying about whether or not you can see my face is kind of a strange combination. But so, if you don't mind, most of the time you will see the poster with his face, Simon's face on it. So I appreciate if people will, I have been asking people while this is going on to tweet and Facebook it so that it will get out there so that people that have joined us, later, that's fine. If you want to ask questions, put them in all caps in the chat. Simon is giving us quite a bit of time here. We're very grateful to have that time with him. And, obviously they didn't want, this to happen here, this meeting. And so thank you very much. This is a great opportunity for you if you're in the audience and you're live with us to ask the questions that may be burning questions that you've had all along. Simon does have his contacts. It doesn't mean, that this is the, his answers are the end all and be all. I don't think he would even say that. But it's certainly, he is, a British councillor. He is a public and official in that capacity. He was voted into office in Britain. That gives him a certain degree of credibility, if nothing else, in terms of the mainstream perception of reality. And on top of that, as you can see, he's a very well-educated man. His background, with regard to his family is crucial. So if you're not familiar with him or his background, then I encourage you to watch my prior interview with him on ProjectCamelotPortal.com. And then this will be going out viral, and I am encouraging other people to record it so that we make sure it, we do have a recording and that it does go out there. Okay. So that's just taking care of a bit of business really quickly there. Some people, are asking about the bloodline, question. And you yourself would be of a certain bloodline. And I know that you relate to these, ET groups, the praying mantis and the reptilians, or a certain group of reptilians, I would imagine, but as which there are several. But can you elaborate on your understanding of the sort of bloodlines and what is going on with that game?
Okay. Within the Illuminati, the understanding of bloodlines has twofold. One literally is the blood group, but the second one is the soul. If we have to understand in the West that the human body isn't that important. It is a carrier, it's a vehicle for who you really are. Your soul reincarnates in bodies, depending on the case, but it can be many, many, many times. And although it will seek out bodies that are similar in shape and look, there will be differences. However, a particular soul with a long heritage will seek to only incarnate in a bloodlined body that can trace a direct link back to the time that that soul incarnated on the earth. So, for instance, if you were around at the time of Sumerian city-states and you were part of the controlling group there, or let's go forward in time to ancient Egypt, and you had a position of power or responsibility there, and you reincarnated again now, your body would be considered bloodline because the soul would not incarnate in a body unless it had a direct linkage back to those times. So the Illuminati look on people within their faction bloodline because they can all trace a biological link back to a certain time in history, or they can trace an energetic time back in history. So if you are in the Vatican and if you are a member of the Illuminati, you might be a Renaissance bloodline, in other words, from the 15th and 16th century. This is the like the new money, the new group, the new Illuminati. But if you can trace a time back, like back 3, 4, 5,000, 6,000 years ago, then you are considered old Illuminati. And this is where you get the splits in power between different groups who representing the old timers, the old guard, the old fashioned, and then the new group with their new ideas. So a bloodline for these people is absolutely important. You can't join the club unless you are bloodline, and they are tests that they do for that. I hope that helps, Kerry.
Absolutely. I'm sure people will find that very interesting. Okay, let's see. Are there any... are there any countries due to conflicts or geographical location that are in danger of possible coming world events? It's a rather general question, but...
I understand what they mean.
Okay.
And there are a lot of people I speak to who have young children and are fearful for their children, and I can quite understand that. Many people on the East Coast of mainland U.S., have concerns about part of the land being swallowed by the ocean. Some people in small volcanic islands are very concerned. All I can say is that I can definitely say that the timeline that we are currently on does not carry with it natural disasters. 20 to 25 years ago, the Earth was on a timeline that potentially could have seen much of mainland United States submerged. We are not on that timeline. That doesn't mean that devices can be used to sink. We talked about Japan. That's a person-made or a human-made disaster. But I'm not seeing cataclysms in the shape that we could have predicted 25 years ago.
Okay. Let's see. Let me ask you this. Do you have visions or dreams of the future? Do you get information about the future coming to you from your ET contacts? How does it happen for you that you might get information in that regard?
I've only ever had one UFO dream. I don't get my information via dreams, and many people do. And I don't get it through the traditional understanding of the word channeling. To my knowledge, only two people have ever detected a portal around me. Only two people have seen it. I have a portal that connects me. It's not that unusual. There are other people that have portals, and it allows a two-way information that cannot be hacked. The problem with traditional channeling is that can be hacked, and you think you're channeling one particular group, whereas really another group has got in there and is passing stuff or disinformation down the route. But with a portal, it's a secure network that links you to wherever you're connected to, and the information I obtain in real time is through that. That's a much cheaper, easier way for off-world people to communicate. It's quite a risky business these days to actually appear either energetically or physically to talk to you, but that still can happen, and I do get that from time to time. So, no, it's not, in my case, it's not really through dreams.
Okay. But in terms of the future, when you look at the future, do you see a positive future for Earth and humanity? And but also, do you also see a sort of, I don't know, for lack of a better word, a culling happening where some people are transitioning out of this sector, leaving their bodies in essence through various, whether they be smaller cataclysms, tsunamis, etc. Do you see or have you heard or, you know, gotten this information at all?
Right. What is happening over the planet is that people are beginning to see through what we call the veil. They are getting snatches or glimpses of the fourth dimension. I give an example where I've had that, where I literally walk down my stairs from one room to another. And as I'm walking down, I'm looking at the treads, the actual stairs, and on one of them it appeared to disappear and to be like a 1,000-foot drop. Now, I know that there's a physical stair there, but when my brain is trying to make sense of what my eyes are seeing, when combined with what I'm energetically seeing, the two are not working together, because one part of your body is designed to understand and communicate with a 3D reality. Another part of your body, when activated, is designed to communicate and activate with higher realms. So it's very, very confusing for people who are on that transitional phase. And when I walk down the stairs, sometimes I end up jumping over the stair, because although in reality I know that it's going to be solid wood, it looks as if it's a 1,000-foot drop, and then when I look back, it's just normal. This is happening all over the place. People are, for split seconds, leaving the third dimension and accessing another realm. Now, I want as many people as possible to have that opportunity, to take that opportunity, to make it happen, so that they can evolve and connect with their energetic DNA, and so they can move on and start to become what humans were really always supposed to be. But I do understand that it's choice, and a large number of people will choose through fear not to do that. They won't want to do it. They're quite happy being in their world, and they would wish to stay there. However, we need to add to that the changes that are coming physically, because there may be a big feeling that people don't want to stay in this world anymore as it is, and they want to be part of a world that changes. So I don't just see the New Age argument, which is people suddenly dynamically change and go and live in the fifth dimension, and, you know, all sweetness and light, and we all grow wings, and we're all fairies or whatever, and that's fantastic. That's not going to happen. The reason it's not going to happen is that we have to experience each dimension. It's like a ladder. There's no, like snakes and ladders, you don't throw a double six and get another go. We've got to go through all of these dimensions to learn them. And just from a scientific, practical point of view, the distance, the difference between the third dimension and the fourth dimension is huge. There's less so between fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, etc., because we're talking about time and space. Our concept in the third dimension of time and space is totally erroneous. In the fourth dimension, time and space is completely different. So the leap of consciousness from the third to the fourth dimension, just trying to get your head around what is happening to time, that will be too much for many people. But once they've done that, then they will successfully be able in the years to come to go through the fifth and the sixth dimension, because they've broken through the big barrier. The third dimension is the hardest dimension to get through. And finally, that is why so many off-world entities incarnate on the planet Earth, because if you imagine you're a sixth-dimensional creature and you have telepathy, telekinesis, you don't have any problems because you have your own internet. You have a problem, you just speak to Fred down in the Neptune and ask him, what do you do? So what they'll do is, if they feel they're spiritually not developing, they'll come to planet Earth, lose the ability to have telepathy, lose the ability to move solid objects, where issues are right in your face, and the only way you can overcome them is going deep into your soul and searching yourself and testing yourself, and then hopefully coming through. So that's why so many creatures come to develop and change. And many of them suddenly realize that they have a connection to humanity and that they want to help humans and they want to help the planet. So it's a very useful dimension, but the human race now on this planet is ready to leave that dimension. Too long been held down, too long been held as a slave, and it's time to wake up, it's time to develop, and it's time to move on to the next dimension. And finally, the fourth dimension is where some bad guys exist. So there has to be a reckoning. And the question is, can we try and have a diplomatic solution before that reckoning? And at the moment, that's what's going on the planet. Attempt to have a diplomatic agreement before all hell breaks loose in the fourth dimension.
Okay. What about, solar flares and EMP in other words, a man-made situation. Have you heard about a planned, for example, EMP?
Yes, but let's talk about solar radiation. Solar radiation actually, as a solar flare, is very important to the development of human DNA, energy DNA. And alien craft have been doing things with the sun to regulate the amount of energy it releases because it is directly related to the development of humans on the planet. In terms of human-made devices, the old Illuminati idea was to detonate a dirty bomb. If you couldn't steal a nuke, there's a group of Zionists who really would like to do that. But the latest view, I think we talked about this, Kerry, when we met, drone aircraft now are suitably advanced that they can carry quite a bit of weight. And the idea is to have EMP-generating devices in drone aircraft and then to use them to knock out crucial elements of the infrastructure of certain countries and to basically push the Earth into a dark age. That is one of their crazy plans. So that's very real.
Okay.
Okay.
To circle back, when we talked about what appears to be, I guess, a British initiative to deceive Putin into, I guess, making some kind of first strike that would then sort of escalate World War III. Can you elaborate on that in the sense that what you think is the thinking or what you've been told is the thinking behind that move on the British side of things and what support they have, whether it be from, the Mossad, Israel, the United States? In other words, are they acting unilaterally? Are they working as a group of nations to have done this move? Because it's very gutsy or whatever you want to call it, but it's cataclysmic in its results. And so I'm just curious what you've heard around that story.
Okay, well, I need your listeners not to think about America, Britain, France, Canada, but just to think of one world government. So it isn't that Britain did this or America did that. It is the group of individuals who have self-styled themselves as the government of the world. So all they do is use the resources of their assets in different countries. Now, just as America was absolutely determined that when it attacked Afghanistan and when it attacked Iraq, it wanted Great Britain side by side with it. And in fact, it's not widely known that when the British Prime Minister of the day, a man called Tony Blair, took a phone call from George Bush telling him that he was going to attack Iraq, and there was a huge argument between the President and the Prime Minister, because the Prime Minister said, but the 9/11 was caused by people out of Afghanistan. And the president replied, there's not enough targets in Afghanistan, so therefore I want to go there. And that country, or that, I won't use that language, tried to kill my daddy. But people will know that as Iraq agents attempted to kill George Bush Sr. So the deal was that Britain would support America, but only if the timetables changed. They had to attack Afghanistan first and then Iraq afterwards, whereas America wanted it the other way. But the price of British support was it had to be in that way. So Britain and America are always seen as the key players. America, because it is still the world's major power militarily, but Great Britain, because it is the world's greatest diplomatic power. So America's always wanted Britain to be by its side because it was a combination of diplomacy and military force. So it isn't that Great Britain, it was just that there are five or six of the people are part of this great family who were in the position in Britain that could pull the strings. So it is a self-styled one world government that operates in different countries and uses the country's flag or banner or label when it suits them. So what was the object? Yes, the object was to utterly destroy a large portion of the population, because these people have their underground bunkers all ready to disappear into.
Okay. Now, have you been told that, you know, with the death of all the bankers, and certainly these were hits, but can you talk about what you may have been told in that regard, as well as what you know about the elites who are not going into underground bankers, but are in fact going off planet?
Right. Are you saying bunkers or bankers? I couldn't quite hear.
Oh, bankers. You know, the death of all the bankers.
Well, most of them were assassinated because they could name names, and they were on the position of the consciousness was getting too strong for them, and they were going to perhaps start talking, and it was considered that they were a liability. Some of them have actually been hit by what you'd call the white hats. People tend to think of the white hats as, again, all sweetness and light, and that's not always the way it is. So a number of these bankers have been taken out by both sides. In terms of the good guys taking them out, it's because they would have looked at the timelines and seen that some of these people were destined to rise to a very high position and, you know, to try and entrench the status quo. But most of these people have been taken out by their own side, who are fearful that they are preparing to name names and explain what's going on. But these people who are, let's be under no doubt, these are middlemen. These aren't the top, highest rank. The system hasn't collapsed, you see. The elite are still there. They're still controlling them. I always try to say to people, look, we're hearing every day that, you know, this person's been arrested and this person's been gone, etc., etc. But you have to understand that these are people who have been thrown to the wolves, as it were. They are being offered up so that the people who really make up the top echelon believe that they can survive because they have thrown these other people out. Now, lastly, off-world, that's very interesting. I would just say to people, where do they think all the gold is going? Because a lot of the gold is being taken off planet, and has done. It's a historical thing. But in recent times, a vast amount of it has been taken off planet, and there are some people who believe they can make a better world, better life for themselves and their families in another world. I'm not talking about jolly old Richard Branson, you know, running missile trips around the moon, and you can pay huge amounts of money to, you know, have a tourist holiday around the moon. I'm talking about proper bases where you can actually have a decent life. So yes, there will be some people who will decide that it is better to be off planet because they don't want to face the music. time these people will be called to account. So, yeah, let's just see how it develops.
Okay. What about the... let me just second the gold being taken off planet. I've gotten that from many of my back channel sources. Okay. So I have to second that. In terms of, there was an incident, I guess rather recently in Texas, where somebody was reporting that there was a laser battle with, perhaps ETs and people or, you know, military at that base. Did you hear about that incident, and do you know anything about it?
The thing is that this is not an isolated case. This has been happening consistently for the last 4 years. Before 2012, actually, as we were running up to that, this is the unseen war that's been fought, and this is why, you know, hopefully the truth does come out, that people will be just totally shocked that the booms they hear underground, and the strange reports of contractors pouring tons and tons of concrete into holes. It is an ongoing battle. Different groups are being given ultimatums. They are either agreeing to withdraw, or they are staying put, and then a battle occurs. There was a very interesting situation much closer to home for me in London. Those in the Truther organization will have some knowledge that near an underground station, tube station, metro station in London, smoke and flames were seen to be coming through. And this is another underground facility that has been dealt a blow. So the one in Texas, I don't believe they were laser rifles. I think they were more like a plasma weapon that was used from the descriptions that I've been given. Although there are laser rifles used, but it's usually the colour of the beam that comes out. Based on the descriptions of the colour of the beam being fired by these weapons, I wouldn't think they were laser rifles. I think they were more of a plasma-type weapon, but I suppose that's just by the by. So, yeah. Okay. The situation in Texas was a situation where a group of hostiles had been given an ultimatum. They didn't agree to that ultimatum, and therefore there was a confrontation, and that's often what happens. You know, I don't want the listeners to think that these bases are blown to pieces and people are, or creatures are willfully killed. They are given ultimatums, and they're told at a certain time this situation will occur. And then sometimes they withdraw, and other times they don't withdraw. And that's just the way it is.
All right. Let's see. The changing of the financial system, and in essence, the date of the switch, it seems to be escalating. Obviously, the Bank of China and all of these things going on, as well as the latest things that went on with Putin, et cetera, that we started this interview talking about. Can you talk about, what exactly, in terms of an exact, do you have any exact date, and do you have any, information of a group of dates or whatever, which have to do with, the dollar and, you know, the drop of the dollar, et cetera. And is there something you can talk about in terms of, or elaborate on, in terms of what you know, and China's role?
Right. No, in short, the dates are largely dictated by what the controlling group in the US and Israel do. Putin and China and the group have always been reactive. Any potential economic distress will only be caused by a gold-bearing currency dictating terms. In other words, if two neighbors, one neighbor in one house has a gold-backed currency and one neighbor in another house does not, but if the neighbor with the gold is happy to accept the other neighbor's value, then there's no distress at all. But if the gold-backed neighbor decides that I don't want five of your dollars anymore or whatever, I want 20, that's when the distress will occur. And the dates cannot be predicted until that decision is made. And now those decisions haven't been made, to my knowledge. All that's been made is that this will go ahead. And something like 35 countries is the target that China and Russia have set to gain 35 signatories to the new BRICS agreement. And then when they've got the 35 signatures firmed up, then they will then proceed to what you would call the first date, which would be the inaugural launching of the currency. So any potential collapse dates cannot yet be calculated, because energetically that decision to declare the inaugural date of the gold currency has not been made. China's position. China does not have the same drive that Russia has. Russia has been treated terribly by America, and so Russia is looking to extract revenge. I don't think we should underestimate that. China doesn't wish to extract revenge. China wishes to extract profit. So China would be the soft argument here. So Russia might say, I don't want to do this, or I don't want to deal with this, and China would say, yes, but you know, we can you know, make a good bit of money here. We could really do this. So they are having their different ideologies in relation to what they want out of the situation. Russia wants independence, and it wants to see America reduced in its capacity to command a big say in the world. China doesn't give what we'd say in England, doesn't give a sausage. All China wants is to be as profitable and to make as much money and to own as many other elements in other countries as it can. So China wishes to become the banker and the powerhouse of the world. Russia wants to be the organization or the country that basically takes the position of America. So we can't predict yet, because certain things haven't yet happened.
All right. What about the revaluation of currencies? Because there's a lot of curiosity about that. And then there are the people that have invested, I guess, greatly in what is called the Iraqi dinar. And I did an interview with Cameron Faley recently, who worked with the Illuminati bankers, and is a very interesting man. I don't know if you saw that interview or know
I
of him.
No, I haven't, unfortunately.
Okay, he's a Muslim, but he's also a very adept with software, and has worked as he's an Iraqi a Kurd. And so on. So very interesting man, also a religious scholar as it happens. And, he's releasing information, that he believes, and he's been tracking, you know, this, sort of return of a planet, and thinks that something is going to happen, June of 2016 surrounding the Olympics and, the return of this planet. You could comment on that, but I'm also curious whether or not, in terms of the currencies, again, Iraqi dinar, anything you know about that sort of thing?
Well, there was a plan afoot to some of the gold that was taken off world to use that as a sort of a counterbalance to what Russia and China and the others are doing, and to create a sort of a city-state, a sort of Illuminati paradise, a millionaire's paradise, to a bulwark that you militarily controlled, that had all the resources in the old traditional style, such as oil and water, and that you could then make a fiefdom out of it. And there were, to my knowledge, a number of countries that were looked at. The problem why that's not going to work is that the combined power of China, India, and Russia means that nothing else is going to work. It can't work, because China and India have been buying up, and Russia have been buying up as much gold about that point. In terms of a devaluation, it wouldn't surprise me if the powers that be cannot prevent a collapse. And let's face it, they'll do everything they can to prevent an economic collapse. But if they can't prevent it, then I think $1 would be worth probably 10 cents. So a huge reduction. But this would be for the first 4 to 6 weeks. And then you've got what people are calling a reset, a proper devaluation, whereby perhaps the dollar would be worth half. So, I don't hold with the potentiality of other countries being used as fiefdoms. And I think that's possibly what this person is referring to.
Okay. Well, you mean in terms of the Iraqi dinar. I mean, Cameron Failey did talk about a very interesting dynamic that goes on with regard to Iraq trying to get credibility, literally in the, I guess you may call it the banking system, so that it could have a currency that's backed by something. And that there is a, that, you know, there's a pushback from the Illuminati side that won't allow them to actually get that kind of credibility. Do you know anything about that yourself? Have you heard about this?
Yeah, I mean, there have been a number of countries over the last 5 years that have been, their names have been in the frame. Their name has come up as potentially, you're looking at places that have got portals. You're looking at places where certain resources can be brought in. And you're looking at an area that has a special history to it. And there are a number of those on the planet where there were plans from both sides to look at that. But everything's changed because when President Putin signed into law his agreement to the BRICS, there isn't really anything that anybody negative now can do. That's why they tried to force a third world war, because they've totally run out of options. They can't play the games anymore. They're so bereft of any diplomatic opportunities. That's why they're forcing or attempting to force a military option. That just should be the biggest sign to anybody just how bankrupt and empty of any plans these people are. So they're just evil people. They just want to destroy as many ordinary people as they can so that they can survive in whatever world they think they're going to live in. And you know, the reality is that's not going to be allowed to happen. So a lot of these things that people are reporting are genuine, but they are based on conversations that were had 3, 4, 5 years ago when such an opportunity had merit. It doesn't have merit anymore because the game has changed very quickly and the rules and regulations have changed.
Okay. Now, there was information in certain sectors that there was already a return of certain Anunnaki, specifically Marduk, and there was a sort of back-channel information during the Elanin flyover, so to speak, that he may have been dropped off at that time. Do you know anything about the return of Marduk, and can you talk about that?
Yeah, I can talk about it. To my knowledge, no, that hasn't happened. There's a very large department within the Vatican that is tasked with observing and just checking for this very return. And in fact, I think I mentioned it in passing earlier on in our interview.
Yes.
I call it the bank manager is supposed to return. They will be the first to know, and I can tell you honestly that they have had no information that entity has returned. They are still waiting for them, and to their knowledge, that person or that creature hasn't yet returned. So my best answer is, well, the Vatican are still waiting. So I think the rest of us are as well.
Okay. Someone is asking about the flat Earth. What do you think about that?
Right. If we're talking about a holographic hard drive, a creation within a multiverse, each verse within the multiverse has its own reality for beings to play out and experience in. If that's what the person's referring to, then yes, I fully accept that.
Okay. Yeah, and let me say, you know, it's kind of an interesting sort of disconnect there, because it has to do with how you visualize material reality, so to speak. And I also think that I've always sort of thought it was very funny. I don't literally believe in a flat earth, certainly, but, I can say that the notion of a planet, it's a net, you know, it's a form that captures, you know, other forms. So, or is used, you know, sort of as a platform, if you will. So it's,
I would just say that many things that we use in our daily lives or have been reinvented or invented have a absolute mirror effect in the wider creation. And if you think of your computer and the hard drive that sits in it, it is a flat disk, but it creates the most amazing things that appear to be real worlds. You can actually do amazing things with graphics. And we are talking about energy, light and sound, frequencies. So, you know, I'm quite open to the idea of each universe making up the multiverse, each one having its own hard disk, if I can call it that, and each dimension, that ladder, that rung on the ladder that I talked about earlier, and then those creatures experience within that universe, and then they move up to the next challenge or the next learning curve. And so all of these are opportunities for sentient creatures to develop and learn, or not, and to hopefully to attain something at the end of it. So if we're talking about flat earth in that respect, then I'm actually very happy to go along with that.
Okay. Let's see. There are cities, or at least a major city, from what I understand, in Kazakhstan, I think is how you say it.
Yep.
And it's appeared, I believe it's appeared actually, at least it's been depicted in various movies. And I find it fascinating. I did hear about it, and I wonder if you know anything about it.
Are you referring to Kazakhstan?
Yes.
Mm. Yes, a little bit about it. I understand that it's the periphery is guarded by not regular soldiers, but by units paid for by a corporation. We would take orders not from traditional government, but from very elite beings. It's one of the very sensitive topics that's being discussed at the moment, Kerry. So, if you don't mind, I'm just actually one of the very few times where I'll refuse to answer one of the questions simply because at the moment it's I'm not sure either way how it's going to go. So I'm sorry to do that. I really don't like doing
that. That's okay. It's just I have my attention on it. I know it's a hot topic, and
it is.
Okay.
But at the moment it's up in the air at the moment for grabs, let's put it like that.
Okay, I'm just skimming this to see if, okay, CERN and changing timelines. You are saying that it's being interfered with, but would you say that that device was, working or being used to try to change the timeline so that it would go to the one in which the New World Order was, sort of in charge? In a bigger way than they already are.
The CERN device was built for a number of purposes. Like many things of that level of technology, it can be used for good or for ill. But of course, there's money in ill and doesn't seem to want to do anything good with these things. As a weapon, capability, and you will find this, or your listeners may find this interesting, it has the capability of firing at the most incredible energy beam, which could strike a very large object, like a planet, or something like that coming towards the Earth, and potentially disintegrate it or deflect it. That's one possibility of it. The other possibility is literally something that could be used to attack other countries. But the main use at that timeline, which was 3 or 4 years ago, was to change the pattern of energies that were going to occur on the 21st of December 2012, but in fact actually 2 days either side of that, although they made a peak on the 21st, where those energies were at such a level as it significantly and irrevocably changed the pattern of human development. And CERN was built at the specific point at that time to interfere with that and to prevent that happening. Another possibility for it, from they saw it, was to maintain the stability of a very important portal. Call it a wormhole, call it whatever you want. But if you can imagine a coal mine that's very old, and you have a tunnel under it, you, in a traditional 3D sense, you get wooden props, and you build struts, and you prop up your tunnel, and from time to time, a bit of tunnel collapses, and you have to rush back with more wood and prop it up. Well, we're talking energies here with these portals, and what you do is it's a bit like a tube from a vacuum cleaner. They wanted to force energy up this corridor to basically fill it with energy and push the sides out to reestablish this corridor because it's collapsing. It's a major corridor that links planet Earth, or one part of the Earth, with a very negative area. And by 2017, this will collapse, it will dissipate, and there will be no more to-ing and fro-ing through this particular portal. So the device CERN was also designed to push energy up this and to re-establish this portal so that negatives could be once again resupplied. And it was for these joint reasons that 4 years ago I brought it to the attention of anyone who would listen to me and warned about it. And since then, there have been a number of unexplained failings of the device. The machine has failed to operate on a number of occasions, and sometimes crucially so, which has been for the benefit of mankind.
Very interesting. Okay. Some people have told me that Aleister Crowley is still alive on the planet at this time. And I am aware of a technique that the Nazis have for reverse aging. Do you know anything about that? Have you heard anything about that?
I have. I'm not sure whether it is that or whether it's a clone containing his soul. That's the only thing that I'm not clear on, whether it was the real physical body, or whether it was an element that was reconstituted. But yes, there are certain people like that their souls are considered so important, and the bloodline is considered so important, that they are not, it's not considered right that they should reincarnate in a child's body and then redevelop. It is considered that they need to be in the set body, the set same body, and they are held back for a certain reckoning or a certain time. But a person like Crowley is a very adept magician, will stop at nothing, has no loyalty except to certain things, and would be a very useful tool for any individual who could maintain him. So, yeah, just another, as far as I'm concerned, another hollow egg that needs to be crushed.
Okay, there are some of those other people are also telling me that it's possible that he's actually changed sides, so to speak, that he's not actually following the dark path anymore. Appears that you do not have that opinion. Has anyone, thrown that?
I actually have been told that. But I was told it along the lines of that certain people like him had the ability to see into the future and foresaw the future and realized that the side that they were on didn't have a future. so they'd better go and join the other side while they still could.
Absolutely.
Now, my view is, because I actually believe that as the truth, but
sure,
my very outspoken crushing of eggs a little while ago was simply because if somebody joins another side because they think that's the winning side, that's not good enough. Somebody's got to change sides because they fundamentally believe that what they did before was wrong, that the organization or the agency they worked for was wrong, and therefore they want to make a complete different change, and they want to join this particular group, whatever it might be, because they believe that is the right way. Now, that is when you do take people on board. But if someone comes to you and says, well, you know what, I think I'd rather be on your side, that's what we call a Trojan horse, where that person then, in 5 to 10 years' time, might attempt to take over your own organization.
Sure, absolutely. So it needs to be organic, which actually speaks to whether or not, indeed, it is a clone, and maybe something else is going on there. Very interesting. Okay, let's see. I was told by Cameron Faley, who has quite a bit of interesting information. One of the things he was talking about was the wound on the head that is supposed to be a big deal to the Illuminati, and specifically that there are certain parties that have to have this and are displaying it, in Obama's case, purposely, obviously. And Prince William, I think it is the other person, and Hillary's wound to the head was supposed to be orchestrated so that she could qualify in this sort of small club, which may, if I understand it, relate to the coming of the Antichrist, as some people frame it.
Interestingly enough, often we get glimpses either in the movies or in literature, and in many cases, the individuals who come forward with their works are not aware what they're doing. Sometimes they are, sometimes they're fed information by secret organizations and they then disseminate that through whatever medium they can. But when J.K. Rowling wrote Harry Potter, she created a character who had a lightning flash on his forehead. And anybody who understands the Bible of the mark of the beast will then begin to put two and two together in terms of certain non-Earth entities or partial Earth entities having certain marks on their heads. So I would say there's a lot of credence with that, yes.
Okay, I'm just looking down this list here, and I know we've kept you for quite a while. We don't really need to go on much longer. I'm looking for good questions in the chat that haven't been covered already, and some people do ask questions that more or less have been covered, so I'm going to sort of skim past those. Let me see. Well, this is interesting. In terms of intervention from the ET races, there is a balance that goes on here, and with what we think of as the free will sector, and whether you're a positively oriented group or you're negatively oriented, and the fact that my understanding is that the positively oriented group really is not at liberty to simply intervene unilaterally. That there has to be a whole process by which they are able to intervene in this sector. Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, I can put an angle on it that many people haven't understood. Everybody understands the original Star Trek films where they had the first rule where, you know, the technologically advanced Star Trek people couldn't change the history or intervene on the planet. It's the Prime Directive. But here's the bit. There is an argument that when a planet, the population, is enslaved and has bad things done to it, in a way, as hard as it is to understand this, that planet population have brought that on themselves. How can 99% of the world's population allow 1% to rule them? Well, they must do it because they let them do it. They've somehow given them permission to do that. Now, I know if we stopped and asked everyone, they'd say, well, I never gave them permission. But the reality is that you didn't stop them. We didn't stop them. So we didn't stop them, so we must have tacitly let them go ahead and do it. And this is the reasoning that an alien race, who quite clearly see the truth, are very mindful that if they come down and do something over and above the normal run of balancing the books, that they are perhaps taking away the responsibility from the human race. The human race, whether it's Hollywood or whether it's in the workplace or the sports ground, always wants somebody else to come and do the work. Always wants someone else to come in and save the day. If it's not the 7th Cavalry, it's somebody else. And the reality is that the human race is the 7th Cavalry. The human race has to take responsibility for itself and can and must make those changes. And that's what off-world entities are willing the human race to do, to get on and do it. Because otherwise, it could be argued that these benevolent races are acting against the wishes of humankind. If 99% of the world's population allow 1% to rule the planet, how can an off-world organization come down and say to the 99, well, we're going to throw these people off? And that's a very, very deep and complex argument, which these creatures understand very clearly. And that is actually one of the major reasons why there isn't a massive intervention in front of everybody's eyes. That's why it's all been done covertly at the moment.
Great. Okay, thank you. All right. Well, at this moment, I think, you know, that we've been going long enough, and I find people are able to, even for the purposes of putting this on YouTube, which I will be doing as soon as possible. So, you know, they don't have attention spans as long as I would like. you know, the stats, you know, call it what you will, tell us this. So I do want to draw this to a close now, and I want to thank you so much for joining us, for braving the situation that you were faced with, you know, and I'm glad that whatever forces out there have been with us, the force has been with us, so to speak, you want to call it that, to allow this to proceed, and that people have been able to listen and hear what you have to say. So it's been a great sort of meeting here that we've been able to have with all of the people that are listening in this live environment. And anything else you want to say? Any closing remarks?
I just welcome people to come and visit me at my website. It's simonparks.org. You know, it's not a great big fancy website. It's just something that says, you know, what I'm about and what I can do, and try to put people in touch with people. And it would just be great for anybody who's awake and aware just to come by and just have a look at that. I really want people to connect. I think there's strength in numbers. If you network with people, you know, there is a possibility at some time in the future the World Wide Web will be taken down. So it would be nice if people can make friendships now that would survive any difficulties. And I would just say to people, look, you know, whatever is going to play out in the two and a half years ahead of us, it has to be, because what's on the other side is worth attaining. So whatever difficulties we're going to go through in the short term, in the medium and long term, they are worth it, not just for ourselves, but for our children. So have the faith, keep the
All right. Well, thank you very much, and thank you again for taking the time. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and have a great day. And remember that you all signed up to come and be here and be part of this amazing drama, and so live it, you know, fully and completely. And so thank you again.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.